All right, so like I said, Q&A Sabbath happens to be, I believe, is my favorite. Second only to Testimony Sabbath. You know, and that's next week, by the way. Okay, I'm overmodulating. Audio input. Just on the right channel, though. Bring it down a little bit. Test. Okay. All right, so we're on question number 424. We've been doing this a while, huh? I haven't updated the site, and who knows how. Let me scroll up. I'll tell you how long it's been since I've updated the Q&A page. Since this is going to take forever to do then when I get around to it, because I have been looking for a new chat room since January 25th in a big way. So I have not updated the Q&A page on Q&A of Sabbath's Past since, this is going to take forever. I don't want to do it, but I got to do it. Since January 25th, the last Sabbath of the month, so it's been 9 months since I've updated it. Wow, got some work. Hopefully I can do it this month. I wouldn't want to have a whole year behind me. But anyway, 424, that's the question we're on now. And it was a really quick email. Isn't Sabbath an abolished ceremonial law? Please clarify. Is not the Sabbath command a ceremonial law? That's the actual email that he gave. He put in two question marks here. Let me take one out, because one of them had a smaller font. Looked kind of strange. So anyway, the answer has to be no. The ceremonial laws are the Mosaic laws. The feast days were ceremonial Sabbaths and were finished at the cross because of what Jesus did before getting to the cross. And the fact he said it is finished at the cross confirms this quite boldly. And for those of you that are on the stream and haven't seen this before, I will put this link in the stream, the YouTube stream. If you're new to this, it's got an HTTP. I set my server to, well, if it comes in as HTTP, it'll fix it to HTTPS anyway, because that'll be the default anyway from now on. That page is an in-depth, really in-depth description of the Sabbath, and then I link out from that page all the other pages that I made over the years in regards to trying to help someone see the truth about this or that about the Sabbath, different types of questions. And so I actually speak on the ceremonial issue at the start of that study, because that was the reason for that page. Then it just went... huge from there. But I also have another study on the site that goes into detail regarding the abolished claim that has been circulated throughout all Sunday-keeping churches for centuries. I mean, they keep on saying the Sabbath is abolished at the cross. I think that page is called reverendguy.org/abolished.htm or something like that. I think it's just plain... It could be in the Milky or the Meaty Doctrine in the Bible Truth section of the website. It's in one of those. It's either a Milky... Or the meaty one. And so, but as for the Bible's, 7-day weekly Sabbath, it was never changed, and it was never a Jewish Sabbath either. Never ever was it called it. Well, the only ones that ever called it a Jewish Sabbath was the Bishop of Rome in Constantine's day, and got Constantine to echo it as well in his command in 321 AD, which happened to be on March 7th, the same day that Bush put the executive order into giving it some life in 2006. And then, of course, on Sabbath day, no less, in the middle of the night at 2 a.m., December 2nd, 2017, President Trump made the 501c3 permanent law, which allows every single solitary 501c3 pastor, be they Sunday-keeping or SDAs, the ability to lobby for religious law. Why? Well, look at the mark of the beast in Scripture. Every time you see the mark or the beast mentioned, the word worship, right there with it. It's a religious law. So anyway, angels kept the Ten Commandments long before the Jews were ever even born. For them to say, for Rome to keep saying it's a Jewish Sabbath. And they just did it again in that Laudato Si. I think John Paul II called it a Jewish Sabbath in the Dies Domini. I think that was 1998 he wrote that. I got the entire thing on that on his Dios Domini on my page on my website. I haven't put Laudato Si on there yet for some goofy reason, but I see the Dios Domini to be a lot more intense, even to the point some of us, myself included, that have the dreams of seeing John Paul II speaking from the heavens with an angry look on his face regarding Sunday laws. And none of us, when those dreams came, knew that they were going to make John Paul II a saint so quickly, because he has to be able to speak from heaven. Why? Well, towards the end of his Dies Domini, and I highlight it in yellow, I even have a link to jump to it on that page, he literally says that Christians shall naturally strive to seek civil legislation to keep Sunday holy, or, as we've been saying for decades, Sunday laws. So, as for the Bible, Seventh-day Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, no, it's not Jewish. The angels kept it. In fact, Psalms 103, verse 20, says this: Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. I mean, Rome fabricated the lie about an abolished Sabbath in 321 AD to get the people to stop keeping the true Sabbath of the Creator, so as to start keeping Rome's Day of the Sun, as the pagans have always called it. That's why we now call the first day of the week Sun Day, and because they worship the star, the suns, the moon, and the stars, right? Well, that's why they also call Monday, actually was called Moon Day. Wednesday was Woden's Day. Tuesday is, I can't remember exactly what, I got a page on the website all about each day of the week and what they meant, like Woden. Woden, you mix Woden with so-called, I can't remember which patron saint, it, so-called saint of Catholicism it was, but you mix Woden with that saint, you get Santa Claus. And then Thursday, of course, is Thor, you know, Thor's Day. And so anyway, they fabricated this lie in 321 A.D. so as to set the pace for the last days. Because the last days, actually, if you think about it, we were already in the time of the end when the Apostle John said what he said, and I think it's 1 John somewhere, about the Antichrist already being on earth. Because, and it is the end times, because when you look at the whole scheme of things, the planet being 6,000 years old, when Jesus walked the earth, he had walked during the 4,000th year. There's only 2,000 left, so yeah. And according to our Father, that's only 2 days. You know, so anyway, they did this in 321 AD to set the stage for what we're going through now, and just as the prophet Daniel prophesied, as he did in Daniel 7:25. When you do the in-depth study of Daniel, you see that he's actually talking about the Roman Catholic popes when he says in Daniel 7:25 that he, the Pope, shall speak great things or great words against the Most High. Well, he's been calling himself a God on earth for centuries. Then Daniel says he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Well, he's killed over 500 million Christians during the Inquisitions of 538 to 1798, and now he's using the Muslims to do it, right? Because they wrote the Quran. They knew what they were doing there. Well, Satan knew what he was doing there. He, you know, most of the popes are kind of, they never read a Bible. So he wear out the saints of the Most High, and then think to change times and laws. Well, the Vatican has already been admitted to changing the, you know, we use a Gregorian calendar now, instead of having 30 days for every month, just like the original calendar was from the Bible days. That's why when you do biblical prophecy regarding months, it's always 30 days for that month. A biblical month is 30 days. But now, no. Some of our days are 28 days and 29 in leap year and stuff like that. And so he changed the times. And what about the laws? Well, yeah, they removed commandment number 2, split commandment number 10 in 2 places, and said commandment number 4 should now be 3, and not on seventh day, but first day. So yeah, and they shall be given into his hand, and Daniel finishes by saying, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of a time. Time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and the dividing of a time is a half year. So that's 3.5 years, or exactly 1,260 years, or days rather. Okay, start off with days. And so you got 1,260 days, because each month is 30 days. It's not all of, you know, they changed the calendars to make it hard for people to understand the prophecies. You got to understand it. That's why they changed them. You know, because now everybody thinks we're exactly so many years from this point. No, we're not. There's a bunch of years missing. And so so exactly 1,260 days, and of course we know what Ezekiel 14:6 says, and then of course Numbers 14:34 about when you calculate time prophecy regarding days. A day equals a year. So not only did the, and by the way, 538 AD to 1798 AD, when the Vatican was killing all those Christians, that's exactly a time. A time is a dividing of a time. Exactly. To the day. Exactly 1260 years. So not only did the Vatican change the calendars from 30 days each month to hodgepodge of, you know, different dates, as well as to change how the dates changed to midnight instead of at sundown. Everybody with a wristwatch in the 70s knew that. The Bishop of Rome in 321 AD moved Constantine to bow in obedience to create the first Sunday laws on March 7th to demand all Sunday keeping, all to keep Sunday holy instead of the true Sabbath of Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. But yet, to this day, they lie and they say, oh no, the Sabbath was changed when Jesus resurrected. Really? Then why did you need this law in 321? Because the Christians were still keeping the Sabbath 300 years later. The seventh day Sabbath of the Ten Commandments, like all the commandments, is eternal. In fact, it is the fruit, Jesus said, we will know each other by as true Christians. Reason being is no man can keep the Ten Commandments unless they become a real Christian, wherein Jesus enters into the heart to help them keep his law. For it was written long ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Remember, you know, before I read this, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Why did he need to do that? Well, what happened at Sinai when they all promised, yeah, we'll keep the Ten Commandments, all ten of them, right? So Moses goes up there to the mountain, gets the second set of, well, he's already carved the second set of tablets, or maybe he carves them on the mountain. I can't remember exactly where, but, you know, so that divine nature thing could be prophesied, you know, mankind making the tablets and then God himself carving the law on it. When he went up there to do that, before he came back 40 days later, they broke all 10 of the commandments already. And so the Lord had, you know, come up with a new covenant. His end of the bargain is saying, you keep my law, I will help you. If you keep my law, I'll bless your land and you'll make it home to heaven. But now, he says, not only will you be blessed, I'll help you keep it. Because check it out. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 to 3 says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, you know, like a letter, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And also notice this. The false prophets pushing the Vatican Sabbath all these centuries so as to wander after the beast in every church, they say the law was abolished at the cross. If that were so, then why after the cross do we see this being penned by a Sabbath-keeping apostle by the name of John? 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. He says, 1 John 2, 4, it says, he that saith, I know him, you know, talking about knowing Jesus, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Which means, they, like Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, they're claiming to be Christians just to take away their shame. They're not really Christians. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, and this is love, that you walk after his commandments. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment. Now he's explaining what commandments he's talking about. Check it out. I mean, this is after the cross when they said the Ten Commandments were abolished, right? After the cross, he says, well, what commandments are you talking about? He goes, well, this is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Well, getting around that one. And notice this very sobering truth in Revelation 22:14. There's no way, this is the last book of the Bible, last chapter of the last book of the Bible. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's right. Only those that keep the commandments, which happen to be the law of the land of New Jerusalem, or heaven as we call it, you know, the city of New Jerusalem, they're never going to enter in that city unless they actually keep the law. Just like you're not going to be able to get out of jail unless you promise to keep the law. Well, they're not going to let you in the city unless you keep the law. And if you can't be brought into the city, what does that mean? Well, that means you're already dead on the planet. You know, the feast day for the birds period, the 1,000 years, you're going to rot and be dung on the earth. And that's why Beelzebub walks around because the name Beelzebub for Satan means the god of the dung, because that's what he's doing for 1,000 years, walking on dung, the dead bodies of the wicked, right? And so at the end of 1,000 years, they're all going to get up again and see the city descending from above. They can't get in. And the minute they start walking towards that city to try to get in, that's the third coming of Christ, by the way. According to prophecy, according to scripture, and according to the spirit of prophecy, that is the third coming. Some are preaching that's the second coming, but there's not a Bible verse to back that up. Just their opinion. And so, since no man can keep the law of God without the help of the Holy Spirit, only commandment-keeping, obedient children of Christ are going to enter into the city of New Jerusalem and have eternal life. That's it. And you're not going to have to just stay in the city, by the way. We're going to be able to go all over the universe. But that's our home base, because we're all going to be ambassadors. This is the only planet in the universe that has been given this option. Why will ye die, he says, right? A couple of times in Scripture. So, I hope that soul that sent me that email was blessed. So anyway, number 425. The email was, I just put a title on it for this, but he sent me an email here, and I'll read that email. It's a couple paragraphs. But the title more or less sums it up, where he says to me, you cannot declare a prophecy fulfilled that quick, right? And this is, let's see, where's the, okay. Now, I think this is a YouTube comment. I don't remember. But this, or maybe it was someone forwarded the comment or someone else's email to them. And this was like an email thread, because I know people that send me emails all the time. They got like 100 different people that they send emails to on a regular basis. So this could have been one of them, and they sent me this. Okay, and this is what was in the email. It says, some of you may have seen this blog entry that was posted on my site by the Biblical Archaeology website on November 28th. Okay, that's me talking to start off. I will not share the man's name, of course. Okay, yeah, okay, this is me starting off right here. It says, but they are not only 501c3. They work hand in hand with every Christian denomination on earth in a way that uplifts Rome and its ecumenical agenda. I praise the Lord they are reading the truth, but I am saddened that they actually tried to get me to water it all down. This is what they posted on my blog recently. Okay, so this is what it was. It was a blog entry that they posted on my site when I used to. This is old. Yeah, this is November of 2018. So it's 2 years old when I allowed them to put comments on my blog, because I can't keep up with the emails, the blog entries, and the YouTube comments. So I just shut down the commentary on my blog. And I still get subscribers, praise his name. You know, because, anyway. This is what was on there. It says, I am writing in regard to the article, Ezekiel's Prophecy of the Dead Sea Fulfilled, with a giant, you know, because I put it in capital letters, fulfilled, right? And then he continues on by, and that's my blog entry of November 28, 2018, was because Ezekiel's prophecy of the Dead Sea was fulfilled when I finally got that article, when I saw what the scientists put out there, even though they saw it 2 years prior, I think. Anyway, it says, if one reads the extended context of Ezekiel 47, including verses 1 to 8 and then verse 12, it is clear that Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 8 to 9, is a small part of a larger prophetic picture of the Jewish temple during the millennium when Jesus reigns as the Messiah in Jerusalem. you know where they're going with that, right? So anyway, it says, fresh water pouring into the Dead Sea so that fish can live there begins as a trickle at the south side of the temple. Ezekiel, or Ezra, chapter 47, verses 1 and 2, is they give as reference. They don't spell out any of the verses or nothing. They don't underline nothing. They just give Bible references, right? He continues to say that becoming an increasingly strong stream as it continues towards the Dead Sea, since there is no third temple yet, because he believes that bogus third temple thing, because there's not a Bible prophecy to back that up. Anyway, since there is no third temple yet from which such a stream flows, note that verses 47 and verse 12 says that the trees along its banks are watered from the sanctuary that is the temple. So he's given his own opinion as to what the trees mean. The temple. But in prophecy, trees mean leaders in the church as well as evangelists on the street, if you will. And then he finishes by saying, no, he didn't finish yet. He finishes this paragraph by saying, it is not possible that this prophecy could have been fulfilled yet. Right? When claims are made that a Bible prophecy has been fulfilled, it is always a good idea to open up the scriptures and read any referenced passages in their full context. Just taking a couple of verses out of context gives a possibly false view. Okay. Now, dear sir, this is how I responded. And this went online. I can't remember how long ago. But this is going to take me a little bit to get through this, because I'm going to ad-lib somewhat, like I usually do. But basic reality is this. One does not need to see Antichrist standing on earth claiming to be Messiah to declare certain prophecies fulfilled when the governments do the things that were prophesied long ago to help him stand before the people as Antichrist. What I mean is, take the 501c3 for a prime example. Even though it wasn't signed into an executive order by President Bush in 2006, making all churches and ministries with that contract official government agencies, as Bush put it on March 7th, 2006, when he put forth the executive order on the 501c3, the prophecy was stated they would create an image of the beast 2,000 years ago. My point is, when Lyndon Johnson presented the 501c3 bill way back in 1954, anyone with eyes that see could claim at that very time the prophecy was fulfilled, even though it was never officiated until 2006. Because before 1954, no one had an inkling as to whether or not the 501c3 was even possible. They just knew of the prophecy and watched to see how the powers that be would eventually do it. And when Johnson did what he did, that act alone confirmed the prophecy fulfilled. As such, a contract had never been drafted until that date that perfectly matched the image of the church and state beast of Revelation 17:3. You know, because all the churches in the in America right now are a church and state entity now. There's no getting around that. Except, of course, the remnant church and a few others that believe the way we do that we haven't met yet. So, the fact is, even though it took decades to be locked down into an executive order, and no doubt soon to be a permanent law, as we saw happened when President Trump signed it on December 2nd, 2017, in the middle of the night on Sabbath day, it really didn't matter regarding the prophetic fulfillment. Declaring it fulfilled in 1954 was just as valid as declaring it fulfilled in 2017. God said they would do it, and in 1954 they did exactly what he said they would do. That bill was going to become law because Christian prophecy is that accurate. And it did, in fact, happen. You could very easily, in 1954, say it was fulfilled. It's going to happen. You can't change Christian prophecy. That's why I said what I said in that one video 6 months before Trump became president, when he said he's going to remove the 501c3. I says, no, sir, you cannot do that. You can't change Christian prophecy. The 501c3 is rock solid. You can't change it. You can change the wording of it a little bit and give some additional power onto the preachers, but that's about it. That was a prophesied event. You can't change it, sir, no matter how much strong you think a president of the U.S. is. That prophecy was fulfilled, right? And so sadly, I just noticed that this guy's email address shows that he was either the founder or the webmaster. Check this out. The founder or the webmaster from the Biblical Archaeology website that admits openly on their donation page that they are a 501c3 organization. And yet they declare they understand prophecy. The Lord doesn't give utterance unto those that disobey him. You can only understand the prophecy of the God that writes it if you obey that God that writes it. And so I cannot expect them to see what we see regarding the Dead Sea, because you can't unless you obey the God that wrote the prophecies. I do not say that to put myself up or to lower that person down. I say that as a warning, because he is a leader, and 1 Timothy declares, verses 19 to 21, or even Ephesians 5:11 says, look at Jesus. He called them hypocrites, and John the Baptist called them vipers. Did he ever say that to people? No. Go and sin no more is what he said to the people. But to the leaders, yeah, you expose them. That's your duty. And so I say that as a warning unto this man. So the Lord clearly said in the Word that we must never create a church and state form of government. Yet, this man and millions of others disobeyed him. I have a more in-depth look about this, you know, on my Image of the Beast page on remnantofgod.org/image.htm. So, boy, this really is old. I don't even have the HTTPS in these links. Yeah, oh, that's right, it's 2018. I got the HTTPS, I think, in 2019 when I set up a new format for a WordPress server. Anyway, as an ordained watchman on the wall, it is my duty to warn the people just like every other watchman. Oh, wait, maybe it was for the chat room. Oh, no, I know why I put the HTTPS up is because they were constantly making my website look dangerous if you have an HTTP. Oh, don't go here. It's not secure, even though I never sell anything on the website. I don't need the HTTPS. I don't have a shopping cart. I don't sell things, right? Anyway, so, like I said a moment ago, you know, as a watchman on the wall, it's my duty. And so if this man cannot see the prophecy regarding how many false prophets are going to join the churches and their ministries along with the second beast of Revelation, which is, of course, the United States of America, then this man cannot see that the prophetic waymarks of what's happening at the Dead Sea even now. And so as for your claim, because I'm getting back to talking to this guy, as for your claim, a third temple will stand during the millennium. That is what Rome teaches. But it is nowhere to be found in Scripture. Nowhere. And I can prove it. And I gave him a link to my 1,000-year page on the website. It's 1,000yr.htm. And so I speak of Bible prophecies that are coming to fruition. I do not teach Vatican agendas. I expose them. I could care less of what Rome wants to build a third temple so as to be blaspheme Jesus, claiming what he did on Calvary 2,000 years ago was insufficient. So now they're going to need a third temple. There's not a single prophecy stating a third temple will be built anywhere in the Word from Genesis to Revelation. Just claiming there will be one is to preach what Jesus did for us did not work, and I will not echo such lies like that. Still, that doesn't mean they won't build it or even get millions to trust that they will build it before the Lord kills them all off in plague number 7. Case in point, there are no prophecies saying Jesus will reign on earth for those 1,000 years either. Yet millions of Christians think he will because the prophesied many false prophets have been teaching that lie for a little over a few centuries. There are no prophecies speaking of a 7-year trib or even a secret rapture yet again. Millions think those things are true because, as also prophesied, they all wander after the beast in Rome who taught them these lies. As a Christian, my heart goes out to you, and so I pray that you repent and get out of that 501c3 contract before it's too late, which, by the way, the IRS doesn't make very easy. So, for the easiest way to do it, in fact, is to remove any mention of the 501c3 on the websites, if you have one, and then stop receiving, like when you receive the donations, pay taxes on the donations like an independent, like I'm an independent contractor. Who's the general contractor? Oh, my Lord, right? And so I pay taxes every year, right? But there's preachers out there, and some aren't even aware of this, that have loved ones receive the donations for them so they can evade the income tax. And that's something. And they claim to understand the truth and preach it. Anyway, for if you refuse, you know, if he refuses to get rid of his 501c3, the prophesied strong delusion will come upon you, making biblical truths come off as lies and the Vatican agendas come off as truth. As for those of us that are gathered here today, I can share what happened at the Dead Sea in 2018 if you would like right now. It'll only take 2 minutes or so for me to prove this prophecy fulfilled. I also did a video on this a few weeks ago. Actually a few weeks after the blog entry, so it's like 2 years old now. If you want, I could share this. It'd take about 2 minutes for me to share. If you all want to know what happened at the Dead Sea, show of hands, okay, because, you know, it'll take another maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Okay. I guess no one wants to hear it, so, okay, I'll just, okay, all right, I'll do it then. If I get one yes, I'm going to do it. Yeah, okay. All right, so in 2016, okay, in 2060. Oh, you were right, Eli. The last name is how you thought. I just saw her put a comment in. It wasn't the, because I got another one with that first name. Okay. Anyway, and I just noticed that. Wow, look at that. Everybody's saying yes. All right, praise the Lord. So in 2016, science, now this is what irked me. They didn't tell anybody until 2018. That's why I said the two-year thing. How, why did you tell us? Anyway, in 2016, and they actually showed a video of this too, if I recall, they discovered something that they did not speak of until 2018 so as to double and triple check what was actually happening here. Because they wanted to make sure. Because it would make them look bad if it didn't, you know, work out. The investigation was done and prophecy has been confirmed fulfilled. But as you just heard, some people refuse to believe it. Not sure why they waited this long, as most students of prophecy would have declared it fulfilled the split second they saw one little fish, even if it was a minnow, in the waters of a certain body of water that is 10 times saltier than our oceans. That's why they call it the Dead Sea. And no, I'm not talking about, well, yeah, it's even saltier than Salt Lake City, Utah, where you can actually float without a life preserver in Utah. Seriously, you don't need a life preserver. You can lay on your back without, and you don't have to do that weird thing where you're moving your hands around to keep yourself leveled so you can float above the water and make sure you got a bunch of air in your lungs. No, you can just float on the top of Salt Lake City Lake, the Lake of Salt Lake, yeah, Salt Lake of Salt Lake, of Utah's Salt Lake City, because it's got so much salt in it. Anyway, for centuries, atheists and Bible haters have declared Ezekiel was a false prophet because of something the Lord said to him regarding the region where Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Can you see where this is going, by the way? And what has happened in that region in the very last days of Earth's history. And yes, this is just one more prophetic event confirming Christ is coming a lot sooner than most people realize. And again, keep this in mind. They knew about this in 2016. I reported on it in 2018. It's 2020 right now, almost 2021. And so I personally believe if I stay healthy, I will see my precious Lord in my lifetime. And I'm already in my mid-60s. So I have believed that for decades, in fact. And now that things are happening much quicker, many I love that are near to me see it now as well, not to mention my amazing church family. So in the region this prophesied event is to happen is a sea that was once called the Lake of Sodom or Sea of Sodom. See, a lot of people, I didn't even know that. I always thought it was called the Dead Sea because of its, you know, high salt content, because nothing can live in it. It's not like like the ocean. You can have salt water. My brother-in-law had on my wife's side, her brother, her only brother, had like an ocean type aquarium. I always did the freshwater ones, but he did the one with salt because the fish are prettier. I mean, they're just all these colors and stuff, you know. And the only thing I didn't like about it was the crust of salt all around the edges when you had to clean it. But they can live in it. A salt, we know this just by looking at the ocean. There's fish in there, and it's salt water, right? But the Dead Sea is 10 times saltier. Nothing could live in it. It's just impossible. So with that in mind, one could see how atheists and scoffers can assume Ezekiel was a false prophet when he was told by the Lord to pen the following statement in Ezekiel 47, verses 8 and 9. The prophecy is as follows. Ezekiel 47, verses 8 and 9. Okay. It says, "Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that every living thing that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come," in other words, the freshwater fish, "and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh." In other words, the prophecy is fulfilled, because this is how the article pointed this out. It said this in the article. I'm just going to share this quick excerpt, if you will. I can't remember where I got it. Let me see the source. Where was this article from? Belief.net, forward, you know, Christian News Today kind of a thing. Anyway, it says the article went on to say this. The existence of fish in the Dead Sea, a reality that seems to contradict the laws of nature, has been explained by science and biblical prophecy alike. Hundreds of researchers and universities have chimed in on the reasons why the Dead Sea is reviving. But this is no scientific miracle, said Beeden. Or Bedine? Beeden, it looks like, anyway. He said, it's biblical prophecy becoming true. And then I actually saw a video back then that showed fish swimming in the Dead Sea, and so I posted the blog entry declaring my agreement that the prophecy was fulfilled, and so the non-believing emails started coming in. And so that's how it usually goes. Boy, we went way over, so sorry about that. I got a few more, but I'll save these for the next time we gather. And so I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.